Ready! It's time to turn on!
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
Stand by for news.
News on the mark.
Newsroom in New York.
You have tuned in Turn on the News, the weekly newscast from the radio network, with all the radio coverage of the radio. Now with computerized news readers, with fewer meddling humans, and more aggregated reporting and automated music. Tune in Turn on the News each week for the latest news, radio art, and more from our robot reporters, making sure you hear both sides, good and evil, every time you turn on the news.
Afraid. When I got ain't painful, it just bound to kill me dead. tell you something. Here in the United States, things are really looking up. There is a new sense of optimism, the likes of which have not been felt in quite some time. According to a new ABC News poll, Americans are more hopeful about the future than they have been in 15 years since 2006. 64% of Americans say they like the way things are headed. And not only are we feeling more optimistic, we're also getting more amorous. Sales of condoms have skyrocketed over the past month. Condom sales are up 24%. And why not? You're at Walgreens getting your vaccination anyway. Might as well pick up a 12-pack of White Claw and a carton of Durex, too, huh? Right, Guillermo?
That's right, Jimmy, yes.
Here in Los Angeles, as of today, our public libraries are open once again, so finally we can go indoors and read a book. Playgrounds are open, too. I'm glad playgrounds are open. I was getting tired of dressing the kids in Paw Patrol costumes and taking them to the dog park, but so...
COVID vaccines, the end result of the world's greatest scientists working around the clock to save countless lives, immortalized in a card we'll all definitely lose in a month. Vitally important, but also too big to fit in any standard wallet? Way to fumble at the one-yard line, science. And look, not that we needed it, but this week saw yet another reminder of just how dangerous COVID is, with cases in India in particular surging at a truly terrifying rate.
Tonight, what officials in India call a tsunami of coronavirus cases is fast becoming a global catastrophe. For the third day in a row, the country shattering world records. More than 345,000 cases reported in the last 24 hours. Nearly 1 million in the last 3 days alone.
An aggressive mutant variant, no match for the country's underfunded medical system. Hospitals are turning patients away for lack of oxygen, medicine, and beds.
While India's official death toll at under 200,000 is still only one-third that of the U.S., Indian funeral workers say say the true number of casualties is far higher.
The black market is now thriving. To give you some idea, a tank of oxygen was about $80 before the pandemic. They're now going for more than $1,000.
Only 2 months ago, it looked like India had avoided the worst. The government relaxed rules, even allowed a huge Hindu festival just a few weeks ago.
In recent months, even as cases rose, Prime Minister Narendra Modi hosted huge political rallies, flouted social distancing, and allowed mass gatherings.
Thousands of people have been taking to Twitter with trending hashtags like Resign Modi, Super Spreader Modi. And the reason is because Prime Minister Modi's ruling political party has been holding rallies.
The government of Narendra Modi has contacted Twitter to censor some of the tweets that have been highly critical of his government's mishandling of this second wave. And interestingly, Twitter complied, removing some of these tweets.
We've got to stop the spread of these mean tweets about me.
The world should be doing everything it can to help India right now. But our best way out of this mess long term is clearly vaccines. And it's worth remembering, we in the US are incredibly fortunate. We currently have access to a lot of vaccines, and more than half of US adults have now gotten at least one dose, which is great. The bad news is some vaccination locations have already gone from having not enough supply to not enough demand.
According to the CDC, the daily average for vaccinations has dropped 20% since the start of the month, a worrying trend.
Vaccine demand declining in South Carolina. Some providers left with extra doses and appointments are wide open.
Palm Beach County Healthcare District says it is now facing 10,000 appointments for the county's vaccine sites remain unfilled since they opened this week.
Appointments are going unfilled. We've got thousands of appointments available over the next few weeks and no takers at this point.
It is true. You might not get seriously sick from COVID, or indeed sick at all, but you could still inadvertently pass it to someone who could then die. And before you say, well, vulnerable people should just get vaccinated then, the vaccines are only 95% effective, so they'll probably be okay, but maybe not. Also, the more the virus circulates, the likelier we'll see mutations that make it more dangerous, possibly helping it to evade the vaccine completely, putting us all the way back to square one. So get the vaccine! The point is, there is a problematic amount of vaccine hesitancy right now.
This is a public service announcement with guitar!
Let's talk about the COVID vaccines, why people are hesitant, what their worries are, and how they might be reassured. And let's start with the fact you can't characterize any one group as uniformly vaccine hesitant. No demographic is a monolith. Every group will have some who are excited, and others who are anxious, and different groups will be anxious for different reasons. For instance, early on, you probably heard a lot about hesitancy among some black Americans, which can be a real thing. Even this pediatrician had reservations.
When the vaccine was first made available to both of you, did you both jump at the chance to get it?
No. I mean, not me anyway. I am black first in this country, and that has with it a lot of baggage, to tell you the truth. And so my public health degree, the culminating experience that I did was related to the relationship between black people and physicians. And that relationship has been a cantankerous one. And so those are the kinds of things that are deeply embedded and challenging to overcome, even within someone who's a scientist.
We've talked before on this show about the fraught relationship black Americans have with healthcare based on both current bad experiences and the history of incidents like the Tuskegee experiment, where doctors lied to black men, allowing them to suffer from untreated syphilis over decades, or, as most US history students would describe it, something I have not heard of. Although it does feel important to mention that that doctor did wind up getting the vaccine, and in general, black vaccine hesitancy has dropped fast. Another group you might have heard have high hesitancy rates are Republicans, and that is also true. Around 30% of Republicans say they won't get it, and it's not hard to see why. Because fears and doubts about the vaccine have flown around conservative media, with one of the most prominent super spreaders being this guy.
What about this vaccine? Why are Americans being discouraged from asking simple, straightforward questions about it? Questions like, how effective are these drugs? Are they safe? Do you need a reason to turn down the vaccine? And what happens if you do turn it down? Will you be allowed to fly on airplanes? Or go to work? Or enter the front doors of Madison Square Garden? Oh, now they're telling us the vaccine has a delayed response. Okay, delayed by how long? they don't say. If vaccines work, why are vaccinated people still banned from living normal lives? Honestly, what's the answer to that? So maybe it doesn't work and they're simply not telling you that. Well, you hate to think that, especially if you've gotten two shots. But what's the other potential explanation?
No, 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 no.
It is genuinely weird to see someone hosting a show on a supposed news network and ending every sentence with a question mark, especially when answers to most of those questions are out there for anyone who cares to know. So, for instance, that last complaint that the CDC still recommends wearing masks indoors when around vulnerable, unvaccinated people does not mean the vaccine doesn't work. Clinical trials found that the vaccines are spectacularly successful at preventing people from getting serious disease. As for whether they protect you from spreading the virus, the trials weren't designed to assess that, but evidence so far indicates that they drastically reduce transmission. The reason we still see mask and distancing recommendations is that the CDC is being cautious and wants to be sure that it is not spreading bullshit around during a global pandemic like a frozen dinner duke with a TV show. Anyway, I hope that answers at least one of your gape-mouthed bad faith wonderings, Tucker, you scrunch-faced fear baboon. And the problem is, when people like Tucker raise questions without bothering to answer them, there is a lot of misinformation out there for people to then stumble on. Anti-vaccine groups have been waiting for a moment like this to spread doubt. And the scary thing is, they don't actually need to convince people they're right. They just need to convince people that no one is. And that tracks with recent polling. While few believe specific myths about the vaccine, larger numbers say that they didn't know whether particular myths were true or false. For instance, only 4% of people believe the COVID vaccine is more deadly than the disease, but 25% say they don't know. That is not good. Because if anti-vaxxers can simply spread enough misinformation to cause people to throw up their hands and say, I just don't know enough to get the shot, they have already seriously f***ed things up for all of us. And to be clear, most people who are hesitant are not fanatics or conspiracy theorists. Many are just trying to make the best decision for themselves and their family. So I'm actually going to spend the rest of this piece trying to clear up some of the biggest myths flying around. And some are pretty easy to debunk quickly, like the claims that Bill Gates is using the vaccine to put a microchip in all of us. There are no microchips in the COVID vaccine. That rumor is based on the fact that the Gates Foundation funded research years ago, which is frequently taken out of context. In that study, researchers looked into creating an invisible ink that could potentially be injected along with a vaccine in order for populations like refugee kids to be able to retain vaccine records without paperwork. Over time, the original context was lost, contorted, and kind of telephoned its way into becoming something-something Bill Gates microchips on Facebook, a claim which, if you think about it for just a second, doesn't make sense. Because if your main concern is that Bill Gates could use microchips to track you, he can already do that. That's what your f***ing phone is. Now, another more reasonable sounding concern has to do with just how fast the vaccine came together.
Wouldn't want to get it. I felt like it was too rushed.
I think the whole thing has been rushed through too fast.
It kind of came really fast, like the vaccine. They made up one really fast.
It was done way too quick. I don't feel comfortable with taking it. Not anytime soon.
I think that they're using the public as guinea pigs.
Right. And that doesn't sound good. Nobody wants to be a guinea pig.
Tell me why you're concerned.
Six words. Testing, 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 and more testing. It's important if you're going to put something into your body that it's absolutely and totally tested.
It is worth understanding exactly how the vaccine was able to come to market so fast, because researchers had been working on vaccines against other coronaviruses for years. So when COVID-19 hit, they had a significant head start. Operation Warp Speed, as it was famously called, wasn't about rushing the science, it was about significantly cutting through bureaucracy that could have otherwise slowed it down. As this vaccine researcher explains.
Did you ever imagine that we'd be able to develop a vaccine in 12 to 18 months?
The short answer is no. We were able to compress the timeline so that things that we would normally do in a linear fashion, A to B, we actually start the F and the E at the same time as A and B.
Exactly. they took steps that usually happen sequentially and save time by running them simultaneously. As for the claim that mRNA vaccines modify your DNA, it is very important to know that the vaccine's mRNA does not enter our genome. It does its work far from the cell's nucleus, which is where your DNA is. But the fear of what the vaccine contains or what it could do to you seems to be common. Some evangelicals are concerned that it contains cells from aborted fetuses, which it does not. Others worry that it could change the body's inner workings. You might have had a friend tell you that they are worried that the vaccines cause infertility. Those rumors were fueled by a blog post which falsely claimed that Pfizer's vaccine contained ingredients capable of training the female body to attack a protein that plays a crucial role in the development of the placenta. But a few things there. First, experts say of that claim, it's a myth, it's inaccurate, there is no evidence to support it, and there is already pretty good proof that Pfizer's vaccine doesn't cause infertility because during the trials last year, multiple women became pregnant and the only one who suffered a pregnancy loss was given the placebo. So it is just not true. And look, the final myth you may have heard is that the risks from the vaccine are somehow greater than the risks of COVID. That is a perception fed by the constant circulation of misleading headlines about people falling ill or dying after getting their shot. For instance, you may have seen this story that was widely shared about 23 people in Norway dying within a week of getting the shot, which does sound scary, but that headline is missing some pretty major context. While those people did die, at that point in Norway, the vaccine was being administered to the oldest or sickest people, and a certain percentage of them were statistically going to die that week, vaccine or no vaccine. On average, 400 people die every week in nursing homes in Norway. And when the World Health Organization reviewed those incidents, they didn't find any unexpected or untoward increase in fatalities, which does make sense. Correlation isn't causation. The vaccine protects against COVID, not the concept of mortality. It is weird that I have to clarify this, but you are, in fact, going to die one day.
Today, President Joe Biden announced a new goal to vaccinate 70% of adult Americans by the 4th of July. And it's notable and laudable because at the moment, the vaccination effort is going in the wrong direction. We have fewer people getting vaccinated every day.
After all the work you and so many people did to get these vaccines working and available, that a quarter of this country will not get it.
Yeah, yes, Jimmy, it is very frustrating, not only because, you know, you care about everyone in the country. You care about the health and the safety of individuals, but also, you know, there's a societal responsibility that we should all have to put an end to this outbreak. And if you have a group of people who understandably may think that they're invulnerable because they're young and healthy, and statistically, the chances of their getting into trouble when they get vaccinated, therefore, it doesn't make any difference if they get infected because they likely will do well. That's really not the right attitude for the following reason. One, you're not exempt from a serious outcome because we still see now a number of young people getting seriously ill. But also what happens if you let yourself get infected, it isn't just you in a vacuum. You may inadvertently and innocently infect somebody else who will infect someone who will really get in trouble. That could be someone's grandmother or grandfather, someone's wife who's on chemotherapy for breast cancer. So you can't think about yourself in a vacuum. You have to think about somewhat of your societal responsibility. So that's really the frustrating part.
Yeah, I was wondering, if my dog gets COVID and then I kiss my dog, can I get COVID?
That's a great question.
Yeah. Well, it's unlikely that your dog is going to get COVID, and it's unlikely that if you kiss your dog, you're going to get COVID from your dog. So you have two really unlikely things. So enjoy your dog.
That's great news.
But animals do get COVID, right, Dr.
They do. They actually, Jimmy, that's a good point. Animals do. There have been zoo animals, the big cats and others, that have gotten COVID, but there's no incidence at all that's documented of COVID that is directly transmitted from a domestic animal, a pet, to a person.
All right, very good. We have one more question, I believe, from
the question
gentleman.
Is why? Why are schools doing this, and is it a good idea? From a medical standpoint, it's hard to understand the reasoning behind this. As a group, young people are not at risk of dying from COVID. Maybe more significant, huge numbers of college students have already been infected with the coronavirus. We know that, and therefore they have natural immunity to it. So why do these kids need the vaccine? No one has explained that.
Yeah, Dr. Fauci, can you explain to the gentleman with the big cold sore on his lip why the kids need the vaccine?
You know, Jimmy, it's exactly what I said a little bit ago.
Yeah.
That one, you want to protect yourself, but also you don't want to be part of the propagation of the outbreak. Because if you get infected, even though you're young and healthy, you could, as I said, it would be inadvertently and innocently pass it on to someone else who could have a severe outcome. And when you get infected, you are propagating the outbreak. You're not being a dead stop. You're allowing the virus to continue from you to someone else. So even though you don't get any symptoms, because you're generally a young, healthy person, you don't want to be part of the continuation of the outbreak. You want to be a roadblock to the outbreak.
Turn on, tune in, and drop out.
Thanks for the songs this week from Husker Du, Bob Dylan, Pat Benatar, The Clash, Electric Light Orchestra, and The Replacements. And thanks for the clips and excerpts from Jimmy Kimmel, John Oliver, Trevor Noah, Tucker Carlson, Chris Hayes, and Anthony Fossey.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.